This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz here from New York with my buddy Rich.
Rich out of Sacramento via La Ventana, Mexico. And I'm down here still. Probably by the time this releases, I'll be home, back to work. But what's going on, Brian? What's new?
Not much. This is, I think, our penultimate episode of the season. So we're almost winding down. We got one more next
finale,
week.
It's called the finale.
We got one more next week with a really awesome guest. Okay. So, sorry, I used the word penultimate. I probably should not have. That's a very advanced word. Nevertheless, our second to last episode. That's what penultimate means, right? I think so. Anyway, I'm talking to myself. Anyway, what is going on, Rich? Sporting the new iPhone, I see. I see you all over Facebook about it.
Well, I was asking about it because I'm going from an 8 Plus to a 13, so I didn't know what I should get, but I'm very happy with it. It's an awesome camera, and it's just making my life a lot more rich, even better than it already is. Buy the new iPhone and you'll be happy for the rest of your life. But you know, we spend so much time on
working.
Until it stops working. Although I got the insurance. That's I did post about people. Let me ask you, do you get the breakage and the theft and loss and damage?
I do not.
Coverage? Okay, well, I do. So we'll see. Probably won't pan out at the end, but I'm more likely than most to lose my phone.
Sure.
I am the most likely.
I am so due for a new one, though, so I will call you when I'm ready.
Okay. And you've got some big news coming up in your family, though.
Yeah, any day now. I mean, who knows? By the time this actually releases, I might have three children. Who the hell knows?
It's going to be great. You're going to get all the sleep you needed. And
it's
going to be just wonderful. But you know all that.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, listen, before we go into our wonderful podcast with a great guest, I want to say a word from HD Photo Hub. Provide your clients with the convenience of online ordering and scheduling with HD Photo Hub's new smart scheduling system built specifically for real estate photography business. With HD Photo Hub, you'll save precious administrative time with an all-in-one system to deliver your images, videos, 3D scans, and property marketing kits, along with built-in client invoicing, order management, photographer payroll, and so much more. Good people over at HD Photo Hub. You tell us now, Brian, what do we got today?
Yeah, so let's go right into it. I want to introduce our guest, Emily Ullman, out of, I guess, the San Francisco Bay Area. Emily is a real estate photographer, among other things. And the reason we wanted to bring you on, Emily, and I'll give you the chance to say hi in a second, sorry, was based, I think, off your PFRE presentation, which was all about 3D and walkthrough and virtual tours and all that. So this will be a fun episode talking about all that stuff. But why don't you say hi, introduce yourself, tell people where they can find you, your website, any plugs you want to give. You know, the floor is yours for a minute or two to talk about your background.
Well, thank you so much, Brian. Thank you so much, Rich. I'm so glad to be on this podcast and to be chatting with the two of you. Yeah, so my name is Emily Ullman. I am the CEO and chief photographer at Hopscotch Interactive. We are a boutique real estate marketing agency in the San Francisco Bay Area. And I started the company in 2015 for the promotion of extraordinary spaces using frontier technology, including 3D and VR, and also real estate photography, generally anything that would create an immersive experience for your property. And if they want to find out about us or they want to be in touch with us, they can get in touch at our website, which is hopscotchinteractive.com. They can also follow us on Instagram at Hopscotch Interactive or our YouTube channel, which is also Hopscotch Interactive. So I think that's probably the best way to kick it off. And I'm in the Bay Area and I'm glad to be here.
Wow. I'll tell you something, Brian, when I'm selling my house, I'm calling Emily to market it. You got that. I will give you the credit. I think that's gotta be the best elevator pitch I've ever heard.
Yeah, I was about to say, you got your pitch down pat. Wow. Woo!
Cheers. Yes. You're working it. Now that's so exciting. That is really great. And we also have a mutual friend, all three of Brian, you've met Peter too.
Yeah, Peter's. And, I chat with
Lyons.
Peter every so often.
Peter Lyons.
Whenever we release a good episode, Peter, I might throw you under the bus. Whenever we release a good episode, Peter calls me that Tuesday afternoon, right, like butter, and he says, "Today was a good episode."
Oh my gosh, I love it! I love it. Yeah, and I have a feeling he's probably going to text me as soon as he sees or listens to this episode as well, because he's that kind of guy who's just like, he's just a great friend. So, you know, absolutely, big shout out to Peter. And I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Peter. Like, he introduced us, so thanks to Peter for that.
Peter's been on the show before, so there was we did. I think we interviewed him once solo, and then he was on the roundtable. We did, Rich, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. We did a roundtable with Peter, Steve Magner, and Adam Potts, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Who all three of those guys are in your area, Emily. You know all those guys or no?
I don't. Yeah, well, I don't. I don't know all of them. It's funny because, you know, I came into the real estate photography. Are they primarily real estate photographers?
Steve and Adam, no, they're more design and architectural, but they both do dabble and do higher end real estate listings.
Awesome. Yeah. It's funny because I get sometimes quizzed on who do I know in the industry. And I always sometimes have to, you know, I have to sort of apologize and say, it's a little bit different for me because I came into this more through virtual reality and augmented reality in a background working in gaming and advertising. And so sometimes I don't know some, even the local talent, and I'm always thrilled to meet them and to hear about them, but no, thanks for sharing those names with me. I'll definitely check them out.
Sure. Cool. So on PFR, you spoke about virtual tours and I guess 360, 3D walkthroughs. And I guess, I don't remember the exact title, but it was something about the future of virtual tours or something along those lines. So I figured this would be a good topic because over the last, I guess, maybe 5-6 years, our industry changed significantly with, you know, the advent of virtual tours and real estate photographers bringing that on to help the agents market their properties. And even over the 5, 6, 7 years that has happened, it's changed so drastically from, you know, the original Ricoh cameras to Zillow 3D tours, which I know, Rich, you were doing for a while, or I don't know if you still do it, but you were gung-ho about it, to Matterport, which I did for several years, to iGUIDE, which I do now. And I know, Rich, you just got one, so you're going to start dabbling in that. So let's, I guess, talk a little bit about how it all started. And I know, because you have a background in this stuff, how it all started, and let's eventually segue into your thoughts and you know, what's going to die out, what might last, and what the future brings. So
absolutely. So thank you so much. I think that again, this is partly going back to my very much a sort of a deep passion for all things immersive. And so if you look in the Wayback Machine and you look back at stereoscopic imagery when it first came out, right, when it was first sort of invented in the late 1800s, we did that, or people were doing that at the time, you know, to create these viewers so that they could have this illusion of showing somebody, you know, an immersive experience and giving them a feeling of something's moving. I'm actually there in the space. It's like the early Viewmasters, right? And so, you know, for me, where does it go? It really goes into sort of the title, which I used for PFRE, which is future-proof your business by learning about these technologies now, by implementing them, by educating your clients. And so it's so much of a passion of mine to experience immersive content and virtual reality. And when I first tried that combined with real estate, that was a very much of an aha moment for me. And I think it is for a lot of other people. And from that, they're compelled, if you will, to bring that to their clients and to use it for marketing, for storytelling, for, you know, a variety of different uses.
Why do you think I mean, you kind of touched on it. Why do you think, you know, 360 and these immersive type tours just gains? I mean, obviously COVID played a big part of it over the last 2 years, but in general, several years back, why do you think it kind of blew up like it did?
Well, I think that, of course, the internet is one of the reasons. Well, there's so many things that came together to make it a great time for 360 and for real estate to be combined. And I think that, you know, it's not new technology, but the tools became easier, and they were easy enough that you no longer needed to use a pano head and get into PT GUI and into the weeds and start dealing with these really technical aspects of creating 360 content. And instead, it became simple. It became simple to use. And platforms such as Matterport or Zillow, all of these tour platforms made it easy for us to then take the content from an all-in-one camera and to then use that, sometimes even making the tour for us, so that we didn't have to, you know, it wasn't a huge lift. It wasn't a huge technical lift, which meant that also the price came down. Now, you asked about COVID. I think that COVID and the pandemic dramatically changed everything. I could go on. I will share some of that in a moment, but I think that those things happened around the same time. I think that the internet, so being able to push greater image files and image sizes, navigation in a 360 tour or a tour that was easier to navigate because we had you know, cleaner tours. I think all of those things coincided and became this sort of great time to be able to use this in an everyday listing and not just in a luxury listing.
Sure. I mean, I think personally, you know, when I started in real estate photography, I used to be part of the, I think it was called Google Business View at the time, that program.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
You did that. Did you do that, Rich? Also, you weren't part of that. No, Rich can't
hear. Sorry, no, I was mute. I used to work for a company. Well, I didn't work for, I was a contractor, but for a company called Everyscape.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I know them.
I did work for Everyscape. I did shot for them for about 5 or 6 years, just part time, just here and there. And it was a great experience, great company. They paid well. They paid you the perks to go long distances. And I've got, you know, when people on our other podcast, we talked about the working for the big box companies. This big box company, the managers were just the best, and they made me happy when I needed to be happy. And so I just loved it. But it really was the beginning, as you said, with a Nodal Ninja head, a DSLR, a crop sensor.
Nodal Ninja head. If anyone's interested, I have a Nodal Ninja head for sale.
I have a no, get mine. Mine's better.
Yeah. And a Sigma 8mm fisheye.
Yeah.
I have the whole setup.
I didn't get the 8, but I have the 10.5 Nikon fish. And I remember I used to have to shoot 9.9999999. So 7 brackets of 9 to make one panel, but yep. I never had, all I had to do was upload it. So anyway, it was a pain in the ass to do. And now with these new cameras, it's a whole new world. And as you said, with COVID, it became agents that never wanted 360 or immersive, didn't really like that kind of stuff. They started using it and they still do. So it's still going on from the COVID. And the people didn't want to go out and see how they couldn't go out and see houses. So
yeah.
It was a necessity. You know?
It was a necessity. And I think, so when I first started my business, when I first started Hopscotch, and this will be relatable, I think, to everybody here, you're always trying to figure out what's the market for my products. Who is this, potential market? And I went online, I think I went on Zillow or something like this. And this was in 2015. And I wrote down, like on two pieces of paper, I wrote down all the listings and I wrote down virtual tour, yes, no. Price of the house, yes, no. And then I wrote down, what was the virtual tour? Was the virtual tour a Matterport? Was the virtual tour a slideshow? you know, because that's one of the things is that people often even will still call Matterport a video, right? So there's all this confusion around what is a virtual tour. But back then, the median price of a home in my area was $799,000. There were no virtual tours for anything under $799,000. And above that price point, it was like maybe 20% had something called a virtual tour. And there were only two or three Matterport models out of the, I think, 80 or so homes that I surveyed. So when I looked at that data and I fast forward to today, and I think it is essential, it kind of always was essential. It's just that it was done differently at the time. And so the data points that I have now, are, and of course, what we can get from you know various places like Matterport and so on, and also just my sort of anecdotal research on LinkedIn or on you know on Facebook. I do this in Facebook groups periodically. I'll post and poll different groups. And I get the
sense. You're basically trolling.
I'm trolling because I want to get a feeling because I feel like I'm in a bit of a bubble and that I can't believe my own, you know, I can't, if everybody were like me, then everything would have a virtual tour. Everything would have augmented reality. Everything would be like over the top. Right. But that's not your average property. And that's not what the average realtor is even thinking about, you know, so I have to sometimes do a reality check. And so, you know, essential during the research I did during the pandemic, over 80% said that virtual tours were essential. And I feel like that slid back down a little bit. And it was one of the first things that maybe agents that were the more reluctant ones to adopt it in the first place, when they didn't have to do that anymore and they could go back to in-person showings and broker opens, and they didn't have to do that virtually. They were the kind of the first to let it go because they never really wanted to embrace it in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I've saw the same thing personally with, I shoot mostly commercial real estate now. I very, very rarely shoot residential. And in 2020 and early 2021, I think I shot or I Matterported, if that's a word, I made it a verb. I Matterported over 1 million square feet of commercial office space in New York City. I mean, I was doing 2 to 3 a day for months straight. It was insane. And it didn't completely die out, but I mean, it's probably 80 to 85% of what it was at that point. Because mm-hmm. I mean, especially with commercial being a little different and the money that's changing hands in these transactions so much more, especially in New York City where I am, than, you know, a residential property, these agents want to get in front of these potential tenants and speak to them and bring them into the property because you're talking about, you know, over a 5 or 10 year lease, you're talking about $15, $20, $30, $40 million, if not more. So, you know, some of my clients still use it because it's a nice filtering process. So, you know, they can see the tour and see if they still like it and then decide, okay, we do like this property. Let's go see it and not waste everyone's time. But yeah, I mean, those numbers just,
I don't think dropped. If I can just add to that though, I did the same. We did crazy numbers of commercial real estate in 2020 and also in 2021 as well. But my feeling was that all of those subleases that came on the market, in particular, the commercial real estate in the San Francisco Bay Area, all those subleases that came on the market, all those expiring leases, we've already scanned all of it. And so it's just that there's a few more subleases. There are some leases that are expiring and people are shifting and changing. And the return to work has obviously been stalled in terms of going back to the office. At least for the near term. And so my feeling was like, hey, we shot it all, you know, and there's more, but the Matterport, for example, definitely not as much. And I think Matterport has also started servicing some of those enterprise accounts themselves through their capture services program. So, you know, folks like us who we have, you know, existing relationships with a number of commercial brokerages, you know, we're being hired to kick off 65,000 square feet tomorrow. And so it's not like it's going away, but it's a little bit less, it's not every day, 2 or 3 huge scans a day for commercial.
So most of your tours is Matterport based. That's how you.
So I'm totally agnostic on the tours. And
wait, don't get religion on our podcast, okay?
Sorry. I would say that in terms of like what people are booking, I get the request for Matterport a lot. And as much as I get the request for it, I will talk them into something that's a better fit for their project. So Matterport is not a one size fits all solution. And so because it isn't, I use iGUIDE, I use Zillow, I use custom pano tours. We did, we did the old fashioned stitching method, crop sensor last week for a client. You know, we mix it up because I feel like that one size fits all approach is doesn't work. But yeah, we do a lot of Matterport. Don't get me wrong, and I like it for a lot of reasons. However, we've had more folks saying that they don't love the dollhouse. I think they have a little bit of, just like people have Zoom fatigue, I think they have Matterport fatigue. I think that's a real thing. So, and I think that tour providers, we also feel, and I've said this recently on another show, I was like, look, you know, sometimes the 3D data, 90% of it is not being used. And so really you just need the pano to pano tour. And so all that time you spend on the 3D scanning, you're not really utilizing it. So it might be overkill. So I feel pretty strongly about making sure that my time is spent efficiently and that the tour is an efficient tour for that client.
Sure. Especially for me with commercial real estate, because I don't know if you felt the same way, but Matterport is a disaster when it comes to commercial real estate. And what I mean specifically is, like, if you go into an office space with rows and rows of cubicles, you're done. You're screwed. That was the best thing that ever happened to me, since I mostly do commercial real estate, was stopping Matterport.
What do you do instead if you don't do
iGUIDE?
You do iGUIDE.
Yes, yeah. And it aligns significantly easier when you're doing a commercial space. You know, I shoot a lot of white box, and I shoot a lot of office space subleases, like we said. And, you know, if I'm shooting a 40 or 50,000 square foot floor white box space, I mean, the Matterport couldn't tell the difference if I was here, there, yeah, here, there, because it all looks the same.
Yeah.
Or if I'm doing, you know, a side of an office that has 10 rows of cubicles, they don't know if I'm on aisle 1, 2, 3, it had no idea. And everything was just all over the place. And it would take me 2 to 3 times as long as it should take me to do the Matterport, which was why I was extremely happy to switch over to iGUIDE. And
yeah,
while we're talking,
iGUIDE too.
While we're talking about them, I'm just going to jump in and say, are you looking to expand your real estate photography business? Stand out from the crowd by offering 3D tours, accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans, all from the click of a button with the state-of-the-art iGUIDE camera system. Get your first 5 standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square foot free by adding code shooting spaces in the referral section at camera purchase. Visit goiguide.com to learn more. And that wasn't planned. We just happened to be talking about it. So I figured I might
and
as well
jump in. I'm going to jump in and say, Emily, I have been just using the Ricoh Z1 camera for 360s and a tour provider. But I recently got, and it's sitting on my office floor at home, unopened, a full package of the Plan-X camera system. So I will be doing iGUIDE too. I'm really excited about that. And as Brian has said, and many people have said, it takes, you know, what we were talking about earlier, it takes difficult things that used to have pano head, this and that. And it brings it way, way faster and easier, where you can just, it works for everybody. It works for you. It works for the client. It's better. It's faster. So it's really exciting. And we've seen the change. So I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, I love hearing that story. I gave a client a walkthrough today, a commercial client. We're going to be doing some work for them. And I showed them, they said they didn't want Matterport right out of the gate. I knew that. And they said they didn't want 3D. And so I showed, they were going to do just video. And I said, well, you can do just video, but you can do video and you can have a tour, because at the bare minimum, I really think you still need a 360 of that space, because one pano will tell someone so much about the relationship in that space to all of the other, you know, to the configuration, to the feeling. So I feel like and then I showed them iGUIDE and they loved it. They thought iGUIDE was great. And so, you know, I have to say that the interface for using iGUIDE is not as elegant as I would like it to be, but that's a software issue. You know, that's something that they can fix. And so I think that once the Stitch program evolves and it kind of graduates into a little bit of a nicer interface, I think that's when they're really going to catch on, because right now I feel like it still feels very Android and very, you know, very, it's a little rough.
Web 1.0.
Yeah, it feels more like me going back into the PT GUI world, if I have to be honest. You know, that the graphical user interface of the system, the Stitch software, is a little tricky, but I think you're going to like it, Rich. I think you will feel like this is a really great thing to use in the right projects.
Well, I'm as always not looking forward to the learning curve, because that takes a lot of time. And for me personally, I have to have, when I get a new camera, like when I went to Sony and I had to shoot a wedding, I probably spent at least 40 hours online learning every single thing I can about a camera system, because I can't afford to show up and not know how to do it. So, yeah. I mean, I'll also have my other Z1 in standing by. But I think I'll be able to get the people at iGUIDE to help me out. They got great customer service. And I think that my best buddy, Brian Berkowitz.
Yes.
All right. Over there. He's your hookup.
Yeah, he's my hookup, man. He's going to hook me up with all the inside information for the iGUIDE Planex camera.
I mean, honestly,
sounds like an iGUIDE commercial. No,
but I'll be truthful, Rich. It is, and you know, Emily, you can vouch for this. It is very, very simple to use. And mm-hmm. if it takes you more than 2 hours to kind of just make it, you know, muscle memory, I would be surprised. It's that easy. You know, you move and you click a button, move to the next spot, you click a button. That's really all you do.
But I'm just getting excited about, I'm just really now getting excited after we talked a couple of days ago about it. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. I did a couple of videos too on my YouTube channel about how to do it, sort of like a newbie guide. So yeah.
There you go.
I know that you guys, and especially Reggie, I know that that's like totally your jam. So, you know, so again, they were from when I was really just getting started with it, but I like to do it at that point because I feel like errors that I have as a very beginner are probably replicated by other folks, you know? And so anyway, I did have to stumble through a little bit of the iGUIDE. In fact, I didn't buy the calibrated system. You're lucky you have the one that's already got, it has the camera already, in it, is the pro model. Is that the one that you have, Rich?
It's an unopened box, but I assume they sent me whatever they wanted to send me.
Cool. So that's great because you don't have to do the step of actually calibrating the camera. And however, I kind of geek out about those things, so I liked it, but you know, it was interesting to unscrew the top and whatnot. And yeah, so yeah, we'll see. But I want to hear how it goes for you.
You shall. So let me ask you a question. Go ahead, Brian. You were opening your mouth.
No, please.
Just, you know, I know that we've talked about 360s. What about video? Are you, where are you at with producing videos for, let's say, multi-million dollar estates? Are you subbing out? Are you doing it yourself? Do you have a camera person? What does your company do in regards to video?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So video, we do. So my team is five staff. So we have five employees at the company. And so we're not huge, but we're not small. We also have a deep bench and a roster of folks that we can call. You know, we like to vet people because it's great to know that not only you have a drone pilot, but you have a certified drone pilot and find out what skills they have. And so we do have a deep bench of other contractors we can call if we need to, but for video for multi-million dollar houses, which in the Bay Area kind of seems to be the norm, like there's a lot of multi-million dollar houses.
You don't get a lot for $1 million in San Francisco.
No, you do. You really don't. And so, yeah, so we can produce all of that in-house. And so, you know, our videographer has a degree in film and video production, television production. So those are the kinds of things that I look for when I'm hiring. I'm looking for, you know, expertise in, you know, sort of the methodology, but then also being able to have the experience as well to go with it. So, and it's interesting because those properties, there's a lot of trends. For example, FPV, you know, the first person drone stuff is very popular these days. And, you know, again, it's my same agnostic approach to everything. I don't think it's one size fits all. I think every property needs to be looked at and thought about, you know, and really we come up with a briefing and we think about it that way. We don't have a cookie cutter solution. And especially with luxury, the one thing that in particular, you know, the folks that come to mind will do is they'll say, you know, I really want to do something different. I want to stand out. I want to be memorable. And how do you become memorable? Well, you have to surprise people. So, you know, that's not something that comes from formulaic anything.
Yeah. Yeah. So by the way, I'm going to be calling you. You're going to be calling me when you need somebody in the Sacramento foothills area.
Ooh. Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Good.
We're going to sub out to Rich. No, we're going to spread the fun and enjoyment. Now that's great. That really helped. And do you find that what percentage of your $2 million houses, 2 million and up, what percentage are using video or and nice video?
Well, I would say that for our properties, you know, we are kind of more, it's a more recent addition that we are doing video. So I think generally speaking, a lot of them do video, and it has, so in my market anyway, it has a lot to do with the brokerage. And because if the brokerage is supporting you and the brokerage is giving you some sort of concierge subsidy to do your marketing and all these different things, then video for those higher end properties is almost a requirement. But if the realtor has to pay for it themselves, I would say it's not as frequent. I feel like it goes in the order of, obviously, stills are a requirement. I think floor plans are the next requirement for those higher end properties, and then a virtual tour. But I think that a video is also somewhat optional. I feel like video, virtual tour sometimes get, it's one or the other, but if it's both, that is going to be something of like a higher end property.
So let's shift gears for a little bit and let's talk about the future. Obviously there's no way to know, but what are your thoughts? What are your expectations? I mean, is walkthroughs in 3D? I mean, no one knows where technology is going to be in 10 years from now, but is this something that lasts? Is this something that gets bigger and bigger? We obviously saw a big drop off from 2 years ago when the world was in chaos and no one can leave their house. But that being said, where do you see, not specifically even Matterport or iGUI, but Zillow 3D, which I know a lot of people can't stand.
Really?
Some people like it, some people hate it, but you know, Rich and I have heard mixed reviews from people doing this. I've never used it once. I know Rich uses it often. To even more conventional methods of, you know, nodal ninjas and stitching.
Well, I think that's a really good question, because the question is, in some ways, you know, what does the future look like? What's the crystal ball for virtual tours? And what's the, right? Rich is doing this. He wants to know. We all want to know. And I think that, again, it's not about Matterport. It's not about Zillow. I think it's about general trends. And I think that the virtual tour for, let's say, for residential real estate or for commercial real estate, I do think it is going to be, it's only getting more and more used on a regular basis. I don't think that that's going away. I feel like generally as a society, we want to save time. I feel like time is super precious. I feel like people realized that they got back a lot of time when they didn't have to go to the office every day. They had an extra hour to work out. They had an extra hour with their dog, with their child, with their family. And so that, or they could travel, right? So I think that those are the, they could be remote. I think that expectation that I want to view, and especially for younger home buyers or younger people doing search, visual search, like show me, don't tell me, is really important. And so being able to give them access on a phone, that's why you'll see companies like Zillow you know, obviously they had some stuff go awry with their iBuying program, or, you know, they had some problems this year or this last year with one of their ventures not going well with them sort of programmatically buying homes. But the fundamental thing that they are trying to do is to build a database of searchable and, you know, connected virtual tours for all these properties. And I think that that is a huge trend. Everybody sees the value of it. And it's the way that younger buyers are going to want to search for properties. And it isn't going to be an expectation that it's there. It's a little bit like when my kids, I show them photos on the phone. What's the first thing that they did when they were little? They would tap on it to see if they could get the video to play. I feel like that is not changing. That's not going back in the box, right? That it's still going to be a requirement. Now, if you zoom out and you go, okay, well, let's look at that in 5 years, let's look at that in 10 years, the conversation shifts. And the conversation shifts to what I think is perhaps the most interesting thing about creating any of this content, which is the potential for storytelling and the potential for, you know, your virtual tour to be perhaps the basis of your smart home. And so maybe that is Matterport. Maybe that's something from your iPhone or your phone, where you're using that as a scanning device to map your environment. And then you're operating your home remotely because you have a virtual tour. So I think we need to kind of maybe look at it from, okay, there's the transaction, but what is the utility of that content beyond the transaction? And that's what gets me more excited, is to think about the things that we may be able to do with the content that have really nothing to do with a one-time transaction, such as a property sale.
No, that's interesting. Like, I never thought of that. And, you know, as you're saying that and talking about it, you know, I see myself literally looking at a 360 image of my living room on my phone and turning the lights on with a flick of a button on my phone.
Correct.
So that's pretty neat. I mean, is there a point where, you know, I know Zillow offers 3D and they're trying to push their own products, but is there a point where they just finally say, like, people are using Matterport and people are using iGUIDE and people are using this other stuff, and we have to accept that, and let's embed these tours into our Zillow pages and let's cooperate and let's all sell houses.
I don't see, well, Zillow is its own weather system. It's its own thing, ecosystem, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, it's a problem sometimes because some of my agents don't like Zillow, but they don't like it for other reasons and whatever. And I just find that, you know, it's very easy to use, but the quality, the end product, because I can't edit it. Like, I can't edit Zillow tours and publish them on Zillow, but I shoot them on Zillow because I can edit it and produce it on another provider. But I've still got to use Zillow, and I just don't see them morphing and assimilating as maybe another company might, because they're just so big, and I think they have bigger designs, you know.
Yeah, I think that Zillow will, if we talk about Zillow specifically, because I've done quite a huge deep dive on this whole Zillow ecosystem and the product, Rich. And I think that, so Brian, you can't, like, all of those 3D tours now show up in the mobile app. They'll show up in a slightly prioritized way if it's a native Zillow tour.
Really?
Yeah, but you can see, if you go online now, you'll see the 3D tours from Matterport, from wherever, but they
directly
are
in
not,
the listing.
Yeah, in the listing.
Oh, interesting. So, okay. Is that a recent thing?
What's that? Yeah, they changed it. I remember calling them and I was like, what's up with this? Like, I was like, what's going on? Like, I see all these millions of 3D tours, and I know that they didn't shoot them with Zillow 3D Home, because I was one of the only people doing it. And all my listings were going to, like, number one in that area. And because I was, you know, helping them boost. And so I was like, wait a second, what's going on? And they did, they basically did syndicate. So you can syndicate, I think, when you publish a Matterport tour on the MLS, Zillow will pull it in as a 3D tour. And in the app, it will say, click. You have to press a button. You have to click. It's not integrated and it doesn't do that nice little spin in the app. But yeah, the 3D tours are there. And yes, you can only edit the images so much. But I think that the when Zillow comes back with their floor plans, you have to imagine that what's going to happen is they've been spending the last 12 months, you know, taking it back into the workshop, and they're working now on rolling out floor plans again. And so using the photogrammetry from a 360 that you create in their app so easily will then generate a floor plan, and they want to get it down to a 3-day turnaround or less than 3-day turnaround time. I think that that'll be great for anybody who was on the fence about, hey, this is something that I wouldn't want to use. I would say, you know, certainly think about using it. But I do, again, like, the future is for me less about, I mean, I love the marketplace and I love what Zillow does, because I think that that's something different than what the others offer, like Redfin, Matterport, all that other stuff. You know, Redfin doesn't have their own tour. As far as I know, they don't have their own tour. So that's not that much of a great thing, but Zillow actually has a huge marketplace and a huge platform.
Huge. Yes, they are very powerful, and they do have a lot to do with the rankings of and the exposure of a listing. So I will say that. So it's a fine line, you know, it's like the giant, but you know, it's a necessary part of it.
Yeah.
I have a great relationship with the guys over at Zillow, and you know, I don't haven't been doing that many 360s, but it's just, you know, the whole thing technically. But I want to get back to one second. Photogrammetry, is that really a word?
Oh yes.
Photogrammetry.
Yes, it is.
So, what is photo? What is gram and ology?
Well, grammetry is basically, you know, like measuring, right? So it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, so the idea is that you have your two photos, you have two photos. Okay, so mm-hmm. two panospheres, right? Two panos.
Right.
And, or any photograph, actually, where if you have an artificial intelligence or a program that can measure, it can detect that there is a difference. It can, you know, find the geometry. It can find, for example, the edge detection of certain shapes in a picture. And you can then programmatically run that to infer the distance between objects. So if you look at Cupix, if you look at, I believe even ImmoViewer, if you look at any of the, and then Zillow, if you look at any 360 photography that generates a floor plan without LiDAR and without measuring the geometry using a sensor, it's inferring that geometry from somewhere, and it's actually taking that data from the photo and then recreating the space into 3D. That's why it's not as good as using an infrared scanner or a LiDAR or laser scanner. However, it's pretty amazing what can be inferred.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's really... that's a subject for another podcast. I just want to know more about photogrammetry.
Yeah, sorry. I know. Okay. Like I said, like I can super nerd out on this stuff. So, you know, it gets pretty deep pretty quick. But yeah, that's the photogrammetry.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Emily, 3D. We're running a little short on time. And okay. I'm going to do a little speak out, to shout out to PhotoUp. We all know that PhotoUp is the leader in real estate photography editing, but did you also know that they offer video editing, virtual staging, real estate property websites, photo delivery, virtual assistants, and more? Having all of this real estate marketing under one roof really helps you streamline your workflow so you can spend more time shooting spaces and less time behind your computer. You see that, Emily? Shooting spaces, less time behind a computer. Visit photoup.net/shooting spaces or click the PhotoUp link in the Shooting Spaces website and receive a $100 discount on your first full month of PhotoUp services. And make sure to mention Shooting Spaces when you sign up to receive 10 free credits and try out any of the PhotoUp services. So that's photoup.net/shooting spaces. And with that, I just want to throw the mic over to Brian, and we'll say a word about our website and
Yeah. So first of all, I just want to thank you, Emily, for coming on. It's always fun chatting, and you know a hell of a lot more about virtual tours than I do. So I know how to push buttons and run, operate my iGUIDE. That's about it. I make my clients happy. But yeah, I mean, it's exciting, virtual tours, and it's exciting to see what the future holds. There's so many possibilities. I mean, we didn't even talk about 360 video, and maybe that's another topic for another time, because I've actually done a few of those and it's pretty exciting for some companies. But nevertheless, thanks for coming on. Again, you are Hopscotch Interactive, right? That's the name of your company. And we'll put a link on the show notes so anyone can find you, along with all your social profiles, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever else you do. So people will be able to find you and look you up or reach out to you if they have any questions or anything. And if you're new to iGUIDE, check out Emily's newbie video, which I'm sure Rich will be taking a look at.
Or just call me right
after this. I will. And we will get together, and you and I and Peter Lyons will all go out for dinner or something.
I love that. I can't wait.
I got to come out to San Francisco. You know, I was almost in San Francisco 3 weeks ago for a job. But they called me to shoot, and I already had something booked prior, so I couldn't go out there, unfortunately. But next time.
If it weren't for the traffic and the weather with the fog when it's cold and the prices of homes, it would be a fantastic place. But it really is a special place. I'm just so lucky to be an hour and a half away. So really dig it.
All right, cool. So Rich, next week's our last episode. We have a really exciting and good one. So I'm excited to release that. And what else do we have? We have our courses we released. Rich, you teach everything there is to know about residential real estate photography. If people think your YouTube channel is like the god of, but it is the real estate photography Bible, people have to check out your course.
Because it's no comparison.
It's like 6 hours, 7 hours, something like that, of just straight Rich Baum teachings. So
and I teach you 7 hours of everything you need to know. And if you don't know you don't need to know it. So it's just what you need to know. No, it's not everything, but it's gonna get you going, and it's gonna explain a lot of things. Me showing you step by step exactly what to do instead of YouTube videos, which I limited on my filming and production value ability. So anyway, and you've got your commercial where everybody out there should consider or just take more advantage of shooting commercial spaces.
Sure. I mean, Emily does it. As you said, there's a lot more money, a lot easier work. So I can stress that enough, or for me it is, at least. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I have two videos in the course on how to use your iGUIDE. Yeah. So, but yeah, check out learn.shootingspaces.net. You can go there. You can check out both of our courses. You can check out the, I don't know, what is it? 10 or so webinars, maybe a few less, 10 or so webinars we've done. Anything else you want to look at?
Webinars coming. We're doing a couple of webinars coming up in the next couple of months. We'll see, because of your little maternity situation. But we're going to be doing some more really, really helpful webinars that are certainly going to be something you'll want to check out, because we can all use a little help.
We should do some sort of a 360 webinar together.
Anytime.
Ideas are just coming to me now, but we can talk about it down the line.
I would love that.
Mind blown.
Can I please do that?
Did you raise your hand? Okay, you can. If you had, see if you had video, you'd see Emily raising her two fingers. Scouts on it.
Let's do it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thanks. This is so fabulous. I have had the best time. You guys are incredible. This is so much fun. Brian, I'm thrilled for you and your next adventure soon. You have some great stuff coming up. And Rich, if not in Sacramento, then maybe in Mexico, right?
Absolutely. You got it. Okay. So listen, without further ado, I want to say thank you, Emily. Thank you, Brian, for as always. By the way, everybody, Brian's the guy that does all the heavy lifting for this podcast, all the technical, everything. It's all due to Brian. I'm just a pretty face.
Well, now I only do half the heavy lifting. A big shout out to our friend Bethany, who does a lot of the heavy lifting now.
Does
she
editing?
Edits for us. Yes.
Saves my ass all the time. Okay. And I just want to say thanks for coming on, and thanks for listening. And be sure to go out there and shoot some darn spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.